Okay, it's time to bless the kids. Blessing time, yes. Blessing time. This is the part of the service we bless our children. All right, thank you all the parents that brings your children here to the house of the Lord. You're doing a great job. Let's give a big hand to all the parents. Wonderful. Yes. It's great to have great volunteers and teachers that loves the Lord and that loves the children in the church. One of the things that we all seek for in life is peace or blessings. And you probably are looking for blessings in your life today or in the past, or it will be tomorrow in the future. How many of you would like to be blessed? Oh, yes. Okay. Not everybody. I'm surprised. So today we want to talk about blessings. Blessing that comes from the Lord. I was having conversation with God in my dream. Because I had laryngitis and I lost my voice on Tuesday. And when I get sick in my house, nobody likes it because I am like the baby, you know. I stay in a fetal position and don't get out of the bed. And my wife's like, honey, are you alive? Are you going to die? What are you sick of? And I have cold. So funny. But I'm like that. So I prayed a lot because I have a lot of time. And I was sleeping, but maybe not asleep. And I was having conversation with the Lord. It was a two-way conversation in my dream, half awake. And two things that come in the conversation was that belief and blessing. If you believe, you'll be blessed. You got to believe and you will be blessed. You know, blessings comes in from believing. And you believe in me, you believe in my work, you believe who I am, and then you will be blessed. So I was having that two-way conversation. And the scripture, the sermon today was hope in hunger. How can we hope? How can we have hope in hunger? And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. In Matthew 5, verse 6. This is the first sermon of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fourth beatitude that he was preaching. I mentioned to you that at the end of the scripture in Malachi, the Old Testament word ended with what? Curse. The last word in the Old Testament is cursed. If you didn't know that, you could go home and check again or look in your Bible today and you go to Malachi, and at the end of the Bible, the last word that ends was with curse. And I mentioned to you that when Jesus started his first public ministry and stood up to preach the word of God, what was the first word that he picked? It was blessed. See, blessed are poor in spirit. He changed the environment, the spiritual environment, and the fear of God coming and judging us. He took that word curse and he changed it. He has not forgotten. And he said, blessed are you. Blessed are you. What a relief, right? What a relief. How many of you want to live in a life that is cursed? That everything that you do doesn't work. It's like, I'm cursed forever. How many of you have been cursed? Or the feeling that you have that you're cursed? Maybe not, but for me, I know, because I'm a Cubs fan. A Cubs fan know what it means to be disappointed every time, right? Even if we win, we don't enjoy, okay? They just won the division pension, but I'm still not enjoying it. You never know what's going to happen, right? I mean, you know the curse of the Cubs. Well, I'm hoping that it will change, that Christ will say, blessed are you, Cubs fan. You never know what will happen. But so blessed are you, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let me take you to the Old Testament. Now, in the exile, you know that the wall's been broken, the wall of Jerusalem's been broken, and they have been taken into slavery, and the remnant, there were some remnants, but people have come back, Ezra, and here, Zerubbabel, the governor was there, and the prophet Haggai, he spoke at that time to Zerubbabel, the governor. And I want to bring this out to you and relate to the scripture that we're going to talk about. Is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Okay, so the temple is in ruin, but the people are dwelling in paneled house, nice houses. They are enjoying the comfort of life when the temple of God lies in ruin. So the prophet is speaking to God's people. And so God says to them, okay, you clothe yourself, but no one is warm. Right? He's saying, okay, you clothe yourself, but you know why you're not warm? And he who has earned wages to put into bag of holes. You earn a lot of money, but it's never enough. Right? It's like going through the hole. It's like your pocket has a hole. You have sown so much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. See? Even if you eat, you're always hungry. It's never enough. You drink, you're always thirsty. You earn money, it's never enough. You have clothes, it's never enough. It's not warm enough. It's just lacking in your life. It's never enough. You have that feeling that nothing is going right. Why? Why is that? And he said, you know, you consider your ways. You consider your ways. Why you don't have enough in your life? Why you're always hungry? Why you're always thirsting for something? So I want to bring that with that picture and Christ again. And he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. See, Jesus began teaching and describing the description of man's desire here. Okay, what is the description of man's desire? Basic description, hunger and thirst. Everybody sitting here is going to need those two things to survive. You're hungry and you're thirsty. You ate great spaghetti dinner last night. When you got out this morning, you were hungry again. Right? You drank a lot of juice, tea, coffee, water, but you got up and you're thirsty again. You're not filled. So Christ described man's desire, hunger, cravings is part of our flesh. Okay. And then he gave, in that sermon, in that verse, he also gave the prescription for man's desire. He did not just describe it, he gave a prescription for man's desire. And the third one is that God's benediction on those who follow his direction. So we're going to look from this verse, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're going to look at the description, we're going to look at the prescription, and we're going to look at the benediction from this verse. Okay? Now, on the description, let's look at it. Everybody is hungry. Okay? Even Jesus is hungry. He experienced hunger when he was here on earth. Did you know that Jesus was hungry? Yes. You remember when he was going to Jerusalem, and then he came by a fig tree, right? It was just so nice to look at. And he thought, yes, I'm going to have a fig fruit today. What happened? There was no fruit. And he cursed the tree. And when they came back, what happened to the tree? The tree died already. He was hungry. And there's more to that story. You know, he was not just cursing the tree. He was talking about how we look at outside. How we look as Christians outside. And people look at us and say, these are great guys. These are good Christians. But inside is not good. So even though we look good outside, because the inside is not good, we are not bearing fruit. And those who do not bear fruit, what will happen? As the word of God says, the axe is laid on the, you know, it to be cut down. A good tree will bear good fruit. A bad tree will bear bad fruit. And if we continue to bear bad fruit, then we will be thrown into fire. And Christ was talking about this thing, man's description of hunger. As I was reading the scripture, I was reading Jewish literatures. And in one of the literature in Midrash, the Midrash is the compilation of commentaries of Jewish literature. It's the anthologies, exegesis. Okay? And it says there, if you feed the poor, and when you go to heaven, Adonai will say, come, enter the gate, because you have taken care of the poor. So I was reading the literature about hunger. And so in Mishnah is the oral redaction of the Torah. Okay, so the Midrash and Mishnah. So the rabbinic literature. And they talk about the hunger there too, taking care of the poor. It's not just the Old Testament and New Testament, but even ancient, older Jewish literature, the oral redaction, they talk about taking care of the poor. And one rabbi in the 18th century had written, Rabbi Bena, he had written about Job, who had taken care of all the strangers that comes to his house. And he was saying, Job, who does not know the Torah, takes care of the stranger and the poor and fed them. Then how much more we should, that knows the Torah, should take care of the poor and those who are hungry. And then in the Seder Hasidim, it was saying, if there is a need in the community to build a synagogue or to build a safe house for the poor, which one do you think they build? They build a house for the poor first. So those things were there from before. And Christ talking about, you know, the blessed of hunger and thirst and relating to our life. Who hunger and thirst? See, the description is who hunger and thirst. What do you hunger and thirst for in your life? Because the gratification of the appetite of the flesh will eventually lead to destruction. Right? But it's easier for us to gratify the flesh first. Take a look. Let's know. Let's go to the beginning. What happened? It was food that led us to where we are today. We have so much misery and pain and suffering, anger, unforgiveness, because of what? Because of food. Adam and Eve could not control themselves from eating that fruit in the garden. When I read the scripture, sometimes I think, okay, in the garden, there was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. Why did Adam and Eve why didn't they eat the tree of life first? You know? You see, God said you cannot eat the fruit in the middle of the garden, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He did not say don't eat the tree of life. I mean, if they have ate the tree of life, we will never die. Right? So what happens? You go to Revelation, we will be eating the fruit from the tree of life. So food brought us to this mess. Gratification. Adam and Eve wanted to gratify their flesh, and it led us here. Death came because of that. Not just Adam and Eve, Esau. Let's go to Esau. So Esau is the firstborn twin. How many of you are twins here? So the twins are given the inheritance, the birthright. The firstborn are given the birthright. Esau went out hunting or working. He came back, and Jacob had made a stew. It must have smelled so good. And Esau said, give me the food. I'm going to die. And Jacob said, no. You have to give me something. You give me your birthright, and I'll give you this food. Esau said, who cares about my birthright? You just take this food and eat it. And he despised his birthright because he ate that stew. It was food. Gratification of the flesh. That you can even sell your birthright. Your birthright that you have with Christ. So the gratification of the appetite of the soul will lead to salvation. That is true too. The kids are learning Elijah and the widow. In 1 Kings 17, what happens? So the widow is out there collecting some woods to make fire and cook for her son. And this is the last meal, and they will eat this meal and die. Okay? Then Elijah came. And he had a conversation with the widow, and the widow said to Elijah, it seems like you're a man of God. You know. So I will do what you say. So she did not gratify herself, but she trusted in the God of Elijah. And Elijah said, my God will not let your supply end. That's what he said. And she believed. So what happens is, because she did not gratify herself, what happens? There was salvation in the family. It's a story of redeeming story of Christ in the Old Testament, in the story of Elijah, that if we do not feed our flesh, but if we feed our soul, that there will be salvation. Right? So godly appetite leads to a blessed life. So we all have appetite. We all have appetite. Every morning when you get up, your soul or your flesh is asking to be fed. Okay? So you can either feed your flesh that has insatiable appetite. And you feed the beast every day. And the beast will get bigger, bigger. It will just be a monster in your life. Or you can either feed your soul. So if you feed your soul, you are blessed. That's what God is saying. The description is that, okay, you have the craving and the thirst of your life. And there is two demands every day in your life when you get up. The flesh is saying, give me, give me, give me, give me more, more, more. You know? And it's drowning out the hunger of the soul. And the soul is also thirsting and hungry for the word of God. But you don't have time. What do I do with our church members here that you come to me for prayer? I do very simple thing, isn't it? To all of you that have come to me, I say, read the word of God. It's a very simple thing. Just Do you have the Bible app on your phone? Isn't that what I asked you? If you don't, why don't you download it right now? Okay? And they download it. Okay, tap in the word of the day, the verse of the day. Okay, good. One verse of the day. Every day when you get up, that's the first thing I want you to hit. Not your Facebook update timeline. Not your emails. Okay? The first thing that I want you to hit is your Bible app and read the verse of the day and let it carry you through. Imagine you slept upset with your friends, with your coworkers, in your profession, and there's a string of emails, threat, you know, that you read in the night and you were just so angry and you went to sleep. You get up in the morning, and then the first thing when you get up, if you go and check that email again, what's going to happen? You're going to carry that load and the anger and bitterness from yesterday into today again. There is no break in the chain. There is no break in the chain of bitterness and anger. The oppressive spirit that just got you by the juggler. You need to break those things by reading the Word of God. But you're feeding your flesh when you read those things. You know, you get up and you see the friends list in the, I'm just saying Facebook because everybody, well, most people use it. And you, maybe you had 300 friends and you got up in the morning and you realize that you have 299 friends. You're so upset somebody unfriended you. And you're thinking, who is that one friend that unfriended me this morning? Right? And your whole day, you're thinking about why that friend unfriended you. Doesn't that sound silly? Yeah, but it does affect you. Why? Because you did not feed your soul. You feed the monster, the giant, the flesh to become a beast, to control your life. So you are who you feed. If you feed the flesh, that's who you're going to be. If you feed the soul, that's who you're going to be. What are you going to be? Right? I'm a bee. So we start singing I'm a bee. Well, maybe some of you don't, but you know, but you, I'm a bee, a child of God. I'm going to be a son of God. And I got to feed the soul. Read the word of God every day. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because Christ knows that we are hungry, that we will be thirsty. He says, you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ, what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. My friends, you are who you feed. Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So it's in the description of man's desire. It's a double description. It's not just one, hunger and thirst. It's a double description that we will never be filled in life. We'll always be hungry. We'll always be thirsty. And then Christ said, you shall be filled. Not just today, but that filled is a completion. It's like eternal. You will be filled forever if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. That is like, wow, I will not thirst again. I will not be hungry again. Who doesn't want that? You know? You're going to be filled. And he said, I am the bread of life. You come to me and you'll never be hungry again. You'll never be thirsty again. I do not want to be hungry again. I do not want to be thirsty again. You don't want the girls, your daughters, your son, to look for affection in somebody, in some man's life, that are fleeting, that can destroy and harm them. You don't want our youth, our young girls, to look for affection in a man because they can't find what true love is. They're hungry for love. Every human being is hungry for love. And if they can't find the true love, they're going to get somewhere else. We got to show our young people where that love is, where they can find satisfaction, where the desire, their desire that they have, that the desire of the soul is stronger than the desire of the human flesh. We got to tell that. God's prescription for man's desire. You know what he say? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what he said. Okay, there's hunger and thirst, but you hunger and thirst for righteousness. The desire of the righteous, the desire for righteousness delights the Lord. You know, the longing for righteousness fulfills the longing of our hearts. We know because blessedness is intertwined with righteousness. Blessed is the man. If you want to be blessed, blessed is the woman. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the kid. Blessed is the boy. Blessed is the girl. Who are the blessed men? Who are the blessed woman? Who is the blessed boy? Who is the blessed girl? It's the one that seeks after righteousness. It's the one that is blessed. You are a blessed man if you seek after righteousness. It's more than just when you get up. We have a Facebook update sign like, so blessed today, right? Oh, so blessed for the sunshine. So blessed for the sunshine, for my kids, for my husband. So blessed for the flowers that I received early morning. We put the timeline. And then you go to the office and your boss is so nasty at you. The work is so horrible. Your colleague is so horrible. And then 4 hours later was the update. So annoyed at workplace, right? How can this blessing turns to annoying? Because we're basing on our desire. Our feeding our flesh. When people do nice things for you, you're happy. Everybody's happy when people do nice things for them. But this blessedness is not based on feeling good, getting good stuff in life. It's based on seeking after the real thing, the righteousness of Christ. So your circumstances is not determining how you feel out there. Your circumstances does not determine the state of your blessedness. What determines? Christ determined the state of your blessedness. That if you are with Christ, you're blessed. You're a blessed man. That's what he's saying. I want to be a blessed man. I want you to be a blessed man, blessed woman. I want you to be a blessed girl and a blessed boy. Not because of what we do, what we own, but because of what we have. Because of who Christ is. It says here, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You delight in God first and then I will give you the desire of your heart. He doesn't say desire whatever you want and I will delight in you. God did not say that. You desire whatever in your life, you know, and I'm delighted in all your desires. No, he didn't say that. He said you delight in me first and whatever desire that you have in your heart, I will give it to you. I mean, let's take that. Why don't we want to take that? Because we don't delight in him even when we wear clothes. We're not warm. We eat all the time. We're not filled. We drink all the time. We're still thirsty. Our pockets have holes. Our purses have holes. Why? Because we don't delight in the Lord. Delighting in the Lord comes first. Seeking after his righteousness comes first. Then our pocket is full. We are warm. We're filled. We're quenched from our thirst. This doesn't sound very complicated. But, like we do, relationship status, what? Complicated. Right? In Facebook. What's the relationship status? Complicated. No, I'm married to the Lord. I am married. I am a bride of Christ. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. We make it so complicated. How many of you like that when you go to internet and you turn on your screen and that circle, right? How many of you like that circle trying to connect? It just circling all the time. How many of you like that? You don't like that? No? That's what we do. We analyze. We analyze every problem. It's a vicious circle. You just keep analyzing, trying to connect, analyzing. It never ends. It's just there. And you're like, come on. Come on. I want to get on. We analyze. The devil wants us to analyze everything. Analyze everything. Make it very complicated. And Jesus says, no, you seek after me. You pray. You read the word of God. And then you have the direction. I will give you the desires of your heart. Because this is God's benediction on those who follow his direction. What is it? The benediction. So we look at the description, the prescription. The description is that we have cravings, we have desires, double, hungry, thirsty. The prescription is, okay, seek after righteousness. And if you do that, then he gives the benediction, the pronouncement of blessings, right? Benediction, he says, they shall be filled. You do that, you will be filled. It's in one sentence. It's just a power load. It's like a secret to the kingdom of God. It's like having a secret key to the kingdom of God, secret key to happiness. Christ called us to long for righteousness, and he is able to satisfy the longings. Okay? So, he did not just call. In fact, Christ caused the longing for righteousness. Why? Because he is the cost of righteousness. He gave himself to us. Whoever drinks of this water, I shall give him, will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm going to ask the worship team to come so we can worship the Lord together. But as they come up here, this is the story between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. You know, she, in the eye of the world, she has five husbands, or maybe it's complicated. Yeah. Complicated, right? But she had an interaction with the righteous one. And the righteous one say, okay, all the affections that you've been looking for in these five men and you haven't found yet, I have it with me. Okay? I will give it to you. And she said, come on. I mean, give it to me so I can drink right now, so I will not thirst again. And he went deeper to explain that salvation is of him, that eternal life comes from him. Oh, wow, it was a powerful conversation that day. She who was thirsty, what happened to her? Do you know? She came to fetch water, to drink water at the well. What did she forget? She forgot what she brought. She forgot the pitcher that she was carrying to fetch water. She forgot that, and where did she go? She ran to the village in Samaria, and she told them, this must be the Messiah. I think I found what I've been looking for. I think you too will be happy to know that we have found what we've been looking for, right? That song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for, right? I have found it in Christ Jesus. She found it. She found it. So, people of God, let's get on our feet, right? And the ground that you stand here, do you feel it solid? Yeah? But I can tell you, this earth will shake. Maybe this solid ground right now, it may disappear. People talk about earthquake in California. But one thing I can tell you, the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, is unshakable. He will not move. So when we stand on the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand on a solid ground. Are you with me? Yeah, let's praise and worship God. Jesus, Lord. Yeah.